that one last time. And I know that the cupcakes are out there and the ice cream is ready, but I will be brief. Joshua chapter 4, just the first 8 verses. This is actually the third time that I have asked us to turn to this passage. The first time was on that first Sunday here. The second time was in October of 2013 when we celebrated and had a mortgage burning ceremony. And I brought us to this passage. It concerned me almost a little bit when on graduation Sunday, both Josh and Brennan took us to Joshua chapter 1. And then Pastor Carey, when he was here a couple of weeks, he was in Joshua. And I was like, oh boy, I was planning on coming back to Joshua this morning for the third time. And then as I was praying about this, it dawned on me that Joshua chapter 1 is a charge that God was giving to Joshua as the leadership mantle was being transferred. It was being given from Moses to Joshua, and God was telling Joshua, take courage. And there is a lot in that for us to remember. But chapter 4, God is speaking to the congregation. He's speaking to the people of God. Remember the context here. They had been wandering around 40 years after 400 years of bondage and slavery. After hundreds of years, the promise was given to Abraham that God would lead him to a new land, a promised land, and make a great nation of him. And out of him, the nations of the world would be blessed. And now that promise has come into fruition, and the people of Israel will walk across on dry land once again, but this time the Jordan River, and they will walk across the Jordan River into the promised land. And here in chapter 4, God is giving a message to the congregation, to the people of Israel. And he gives them this command to go out back onto that riverbed where they had just walked across, and to pick up 12 stones and take these stones and set them up on the other side so that when the next generation, when the children grow up and they come and ask, what are these stones? You can tell them that we walked across on dry land. This is what God has done. Remember what God had done while we walked and provided for us as we wandered around in the desert. How God had taken care of us even when we were in bondage in Egypt. Remember that God had made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that promise has come to fruition, and here we are together in this promised land. And I want to suggest to you this morning, I'm not going to give you 12 stones, but I want to give you a couple stones for you to set up to remember. We must remember that 30 years ago, this church started out of a commitment to the truth of God's word. And a desire to not only believe it to be true, but to live out what it teaches. When a group of young believers decided to take a stand on the truth of God's word and not accept what culture was saying, what the world was saying to be true and calling good, but we were going to stand on the word of God. And 30 years later, this church is still committed to the truth of God's word. I hope many of you, we challenged at the beginning of this year to read through the Bible this year. I hope many of you are continuing to do that. And if you've faltered and missed a little bit, pick it back up. Start where you left off and get back into the Word of God, because it is the Word of God where we find truth and life, because there in the Word of God we meet with the living God who will change our lives and transform us. We meet with Christ in His Word. We are still, and we must remember our commitment to the Word of God. We must remember the power of the gospel. We are all sinners by nature. And in the gospel, God's grace and love are greater than our sins. God is able to forgive all of our sins, any of our sins. God saves. This is the cornerstone of our church, the work and person of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has accomplished. That hasn't changed, regardless of who's the pastor, regardless of who comes or goes. It is the gospel that we proclaim that gives life. And it is our mission. We must remember, we are saved not for our own benefit. We are saved to be a blessing, to be a vehicle through which God's love and grace is on display. God promised Abraham, I will make you a nation, I will give you this land. Why? So that through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. God has blessed this church. He has blessed this family, and he will continue to bless this family, not just for our own sake, which he does bless us because he loves us, but he blesses us so that through us we may be a blessing to the world, the hurting, the lost around us. Remember, we must remember that Christ is the head of the church. This is his church. God called us to do his will through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. We must trust in him, seek his leading, and wait upon him. Pastor Peter said it well. Wait upon his leading. And we must remember, no matter how the pandemic changes the how we do things, the what and the why of what we do remains the same. We may change the wording from time to time of our mission statement. We even change pastors. But don't forget, the mission of the church remains the same. That is knowing, growing, and showing the love of Christ. You are and will continue to be a community of authentic followers of Christ who seek to glorify God by knowing God the Father in an ever-deepening and personal relationship. You are and will continue to grow in Christ's likeness through the transformational work of the Holy Spirit as you live in community, as you disciple and share and care for one another, as you feed the children and lead your families. And you are and will continue to intentionally show the love of Christ to others through your message, through your actions. You know, it's been wonderful to watch how God has worked. You know, some churches saying we're reopening the churches. You know what, folks? The church never closed. We may not have been able to gather for a few weeks here, but the church was always open and at work. And I have seen and heard testimony of how you, church family, have served the community, have reached out to one another, have encouraged one another. It may change how we do it, but what we do and why we do it is going to stay the same. Dana and I have loved our time here. We have loved you and been loved by you. It's been profoundly honored for us to be here and to serve Christ together with you, our church family. Now it's time, as we leave, to be closer to our family. You are our spiritual family. And you are and will remain in our hearts, in our prayers, and in our love. At this point, I'm going to ask Bob Bronson to come up. This isn't a stone, Bob, if you don't mind, but this isn't a stone for you to set up out in a prayer garden or something, but this is, I want to give symbolically, so that there's a passing of the mantle. These are the keys to the church that I've carried in my pocket for 13 and a half years. Well-worn and shiny, yeah. And I, as Bob is the chair of our elder board and representing the elders, I hand these keys over along with the stones that Moses sets up, that Joshua sets up, that we continue to remain faithful to God's word, his message, and his gospel. remain faithful to serving his community and showing the love of Christ to one another, knowing, growing, and showing the love of Christ. And when in God's timing, the next pastor is called and installed, then handing these stones from me to him, that Christ will continue to do his work. Thank you. Father, most gracious God, we thank you, we bless you for the many blessings and wonder and grace that you have given to Dana and I, to this church family that we have shared together with. We ask your continued blessing and grace that you would watch over them and the leaders and the church, continue to bring unity. Give them patience and grace and faith to wait upon you to bring in that right next man. Lord, just ask that you would continue to bless. We thank you. We praise you. We ask all this in Christ's name.